Good morning. Welcome everyone to InChrist Singapore online service. We welcome you and you have just joined us in a chat group. Could you just say hi in the chat group? For new visitors, if this is the first time you're joining us, we would like to invite you to fill up the electronic contact card that is in the link in the chat. Let us know that you have joined us. We hope to get to know you better. To follow us on social media platforms so that we can keep you informed of the latest happening, even as we continue our online service in light of the current COVID-19 situation. Upcoming announcement, we are having a Luke and Acts Bible study on July 16th at 8 p.m. Please join us on the same URL here on Thursday, where we will be covering Luke chapter 13 to 16. Once again, if you have any questions, please submit them via WhatsApp on the next Q&A sessions on 6th of August. Transform Working Life. On July 25th, 10 a.m., we'll be having the last session of the Transform Working Life training. Be blessed by the teaching by speakers from ICCC. We hope to see you there and join us as we explore a transformed understanding of work. The Woman of Faith is meeting every Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m. They meet then online for a book study. Do consider joining them if you are available. Please WhatsApp ICSG updates to register or to know more about the gathering. Next, tithes and offering. InChrist Singapore thanks you for your tithes and offering. We appreciate your offering through electronic means. Please use your bank app to scan the QR code and transfer using PayNow or PayLah. Alternatively, for manual entry, you can look at our bank account details on the slides available. Lastly, InChrist Singapore is a cell group church. We strongly encourage everyone to be part of a cell group where you can journey with a close group of like-minded people in your Christian walk. We have a total of 7 different cell groups and encourage you to join one today. You do not have to walk alone. Finally, please fill in the contact form and we'll get back to you shortly. Thank you. Can I end this time with a prayer for you? Dear Lord, we thank you that we are privileged, blessed by you, because Lord Jesus, you are in our life. We ask for blessings and protection for everyone in this community and every Singaporean, so that we are protected under the grace of God from the current situation and that sickness and bad news, negative thoughts are all stay away from us. We do this holding fast to the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray a blessing over everyone who's watching and joining us in this online service today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for joining us, and I'll hand over this time to the worship team. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Welcome to the online worship. This is Amazing Grace. Let's worship.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Who sets it mighty?
made so much stronger. The King of Glory, the King of the Forgiving, who shakes the earth with holy thunder, who lifts up breathless in all our wonder. The King of Glory, the King of the Forgiving. This is amazing grace. This is a feeling that you would take my place, that you will bear my weight. You lay down your life that I will be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the offer? The Son and Daughter, the King of Glory, the King of the Four Kings. Who rules the nation with truth and justice? Shine like the sun, out of His freedom, the King of Glory, the King of the Four Kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you will bear my cross. You lay down your life, and I will be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is the feeling love. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
So good, God, you're so good. Calvary's Hill, we curse your name,
Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. The story of redemption written on His hand. That Jesus, You will reign forevermore. The victory is Yours. We sing Your praise. Endless hallelujah to Your holy name. And Jesus, You will reign forevermore. The victory is Yours. Offer sacrifice for every sin. Our Savior. Be contained. Our hope God has reached the grave. Our hope God has risen from the grave. Oh, behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on His name. Jesus, You were raised.
Father, we just come before You right now, Father God. Lord, we thank You that we've been able to worship You together as a church. We thank You, Father God, that, Lord Jesus, that You fill every home and You fill every heart. God, we just want to pray that as we listen to the Word this morning, let it be able to do what You have called it to do, Father God. And we just ask that our hearts are ready to receive and ready to hear from You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome to In Christ Singapore. And we are so thankful that today we have a guest speaker. Pastor Christopher Allam is going to deliver the word to us today. And Pastor Christopher Allam is someone that many of you are very familiar with, having both seen him both in Shanghai Church as well as in our church a couple of times. And he is known for being traveling all over the world and seeing a lot of healings and the miracles of God through his life and through his ministry. And he has preached the gospel of Jesus in over 70 nations, as well as thousands of churches have been started throughout his ministry or through his ministry. So I'm so happy that we can listen to him. So let's open up our hearts and be ready to receive what the Lord has for us. So be blessed.
Hello, my brothers and sisters. God bless you in the name of our Lord Jesus. I am at home in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I trust you also are doing well. And I thank you, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity to share the Word of God with you. And so what I want to share with you today is about stay in faith and never give up. Stay in faith and never give up. But let's start praying together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your holy word. I ask you, Father, that your word will find a dwelling place in all our hearts. And Lord, that you would do your work in our lives. Be glorified, Lord Jesus. I pray that every person who hears my voice will be touched. And you will fill their hearts with hope and fill their hearts with faith so that they will fully experience and appropriate your blessings upon their own lives in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So, let me start by sharing with you the story of a man called Caleb. A man called Caleb, and he was one of the heroes of faith in the Old Testament. And, it begins by this. God promised to the people of Israel this land that was overflowing with milk and honey. And Moses, you know, he led the people. And they finally came to the entrance to the promised land. They were right on the verge of entering the promised land. So what Moses did was that Israelites had 12 tribes. So he chose... You can say he chose the best man from each tribe. So he chose 12 spies. I mean, the top guy, the ones who he trusted the most from each tribe. So he chose these 12 men and sent them into the promised land to spy out the land and to give a report of what the land was like. Now, you have to remember that God had said to them that the land was theirs, and they would actually go in and take it and take possession of it. But now he's doing a final recce, just sending them in to see, you know, to report back to him. So these 12 spies, they went into the promised land and they did a recce of the promised land, and they came back after several weeks. And actually they brought with them a huge bunch of grapes, talking about, you know, the grapes that were found in the promised land, how this indeed was a land, you know, flowing with milk and honey as the Lord had said. So they came back and this is what they said. They said, Moses, you know, actually all the people of Israel gathered together and they began to say, this is what they said. They said, well, Moses, the land is indeed flowing with milk and honey. And it's a fantastic place. And here's the fruit. By the way, we brought some fruits. And here's the grapes. And there was this huge bunch of grapes. And they were singing the praises of the land, telling Moses and everybody else, the people of Israel, how great the land was. It was indeed the way God had said it was. But, they said, but, we cannot take possession of it. Why? Well, firstly, the opposition is very strong. The people who live there, the heathen, they are very, very strong, and we cannot fight them. And he says, then in one place there were these giants. He talked about this mountain. And on this mountain were these giants. They were the Anakims. They called them the sons of Anak. And these guys were giants. In fact, they said that these guys were so big that we felt like grasshoppers in their sight. And it's very interesting. Unbelief does strange mind reading, because they were reading the minds of the giants and telling Moses what they believed the giants were thinking of them. Suddenly they're mind readers now. And they're saying that these Anakims, they're giants, and they looked at us and they thought we were grasshoppers. So there's no ways we can do this. And they complain. So what happens is that first they get the facts that the land is indeed as wonderful as God has said it is. But then they began to give all the reasons why they couldn't take the land, because the opposition, who God had incidentally said, you shall drive them out and take the land. Well, we cannot drive them out. We know what God has said, but there's no ways we can do it because there's too many and they're too big for us and we cannot do it. And then they went on and on. And unbelief always has a way of taking over, you know. It's, when you begin to spread unbelief, soon it just spreads. And so the spirit of unbelief was spreading, and there were people were murmuring and they were complaining. And then this man, Caleb, he stood up. This is what it says in Numbers 13, verse 30. He says, Caleb, he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, Caleb, he had also been there. He was one of the 12 spies. He had seen the exact same thing, the same things that the other spies had said. But the difference between them and him was that while they were totally swayed by what they had seen, Caleb, who had seen the same thing, seen the same giants on the same mountains, he refused to be swayed by what he had seen. But he was moved only by the promise of God, who said that you are going to take this land and you are going to drive this opposition out and this is yours. So that was the difference between Caleb and the other spies. The other spies were swayed by what they had seen, but Caleb refused to be swayed by what he had seen. So he stilled the people. He told the people to be quiet. He said, guys, just be quiet, okay? Don't talk unbelief. Be quiet. And then he said, listen, Moses, let's go in at once and possess it because we are well able to overcome it. But the others, they kind of shouted him down. They raised their voices. They said, no, there's no ways we can do it. Caleb, you're being overly optimistic. You don't know what you are talking about. We are not able to do it because it's just impossible. And on they went. So finally, God got very angry. The Lord was very angry, and this is what the Lord said in the next chapter, Numbers 14, verses 22 to 24. He says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and did in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not listened to my voice. So, incidentally, all these men, I mean the entire nation of Israel, and these 12 spies, they had all been in Egypt. So what the Lord was saying is that all these people, including these spies who you sent into the land, they have all seen my glory. They have all seen the miracles which I did in Egypt. And they all saw the miracles that I did in the wilderness. And still do not believe what I'm saying in my word. I mean, that's it. Terrible indictment, because these were all these people, the entire nation. This was the same generation that the Lord had brought out of Egypt, and they had seen his miracles, they had seen the mighty works of power that he had done, and still they kept on tempting him. They tempted him 10 times, it said. 10 times they tempted God, and they refused to listen to the voice of God, and they stuck with their own unbelief. You see, the problem was that although they were out of Egypt, Egypt was still in them. Although they were free men, that spirit of slavery was still in them. But Caleb was not like that. Caleb, so you can't really say, well, it's hereditary, it's genetic. It isn't. It has to do with faith. If Caleb could be a man of faith, they could also be men of faith. But they just refused. They just, you know, stayed under that spirit. So this is what the Lord said. All these men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, they have tempted me now these 10 times and have not listened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. He says, I swore to the fathers that their seed would inherit the land, but that doesn't include this unbelieving lot. They are not going to see the land, and neither shall any of them, any of those who provoked me, see the land. But verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Hallelujah. So the Lord said, this entire nation, they are not going to see the land. They are all going to, you know, they are not going to see the land. They are all out. In fact, they ended up dying in the wilderness. They walked around in the wilderness for 40 years after this, and until the last one of them died out. And that entire generation that believed God, that said that, no, we cannot do it because the giants are greater than us, the whole generation perished in the desert. That's what they were doing 40 years in the wilderness. They were actually dying in the wilderness. They were dying off, and God was waiting for them to die. So this new generation who had not spoken unbelief could enter into the land. So the Lord said, my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit, he has a different spirit than the rest of these people, and he has followed me fully, he will go into the land. So anyway, so then, you know, they came the conquest. We read the story of 40 years in the wilderness, how the entire generation perished that died in the wilderness. And then what happened was that finally they entered into the land. And the first city they faced was the city of Jericho. They crossed the river Jordan and they had the conquest of Jericho. And then they finished their conquest of the whole land. They, you know, once they were in there, then I like this from Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 12. This is what happened after the conquest of the land. It says, then the children of Judah came into Joshua in Gilgal. And Joshua was actually the leader. Moses had died. He had handed over to Joshua. Joshua was in charge. They came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him. So actually, Caleb and Joshua were the only two from that old generation who saw the land. They were two of the 12 spies. So 10 of the spies spoke unbelief, and only Caleb and Joshua were in faith. So Caleb and Joshua, by this time, they're old men. And everyone in their generation was dead. So everybody else was a youngster, you know, if you can imagine the situation. So Caleb came to Joshua, and this is what he said. He says, you know the thing that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. He says, he's referring to something that the Lord had spoken to him and to Moses and also to Joshua. He says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. He says, I was 14 years old when, 40 years old when I went into this land to spy out the land. And when I came back, I spoke from my heart. Nevertheless, my brothers that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast followed the Lord my God. So Joshua is the leader of the people of Israel, and Caleb comes to him. He says, he reminds Joshua, he said, Joshua, remember 45 years ago, because there were 40 years in the wilderness and 5 years was the conquest of the land. So 45 years have passed, and Caleb is actually 85 years old, because he says, I was 40 years old when Moses sent me out to spy the land, and I came and I spoke from my heart, and I followed the Lord with all my whole heart. And then he says that, Moses had said to me, this is what the Lord is saying, whatever your feet have trodden, that land belongs to you. And then it says here, and now, verse 10, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and lo, I am this day 45 years old. He says, the Lord has kept me alive all these years, and now I am 85 years old. And he says, verse 11, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day when Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now to war, both to go out and to come in. Wow! This man, Caleb, he was 85 years old, and he says to Moses, he says that, Moses, I am 85 years old, but the Lord has kept me alive, and I am as strong today as I was 85 years old. As my strength was when I was 40, so is my strength now, and I can even go to war, and I can win, I can conquer. Now, you can imagine, this is the man's faith. Now, his family doctor might have another opinion, but who cares? This man, that was his faith. He knew in his faith, by his faith, he says, I am as strong today at 85 as I was at 40. I still have fight left in me. I cannot give up. And so he says, verse 12, and now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For he heard in that day how the Anakims were there, that the cities were great and fenced. If so, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. So, what he said to Joshua, he says that, Joshua, remember when we were spying out the promised land and we saw the mountains and the giants that everybody was complaining about, that they were too big for us and we were like grasshoppers? Well, the Lord told me that day when I was spying out the land, and he said, Caleb, that mountain belongs to you. So I want this mountain. Give me this mountain. I'm going to go in. He says, you remember how they said that the giants were there, but I am ready for war. I'm 85 years old, but I'm strong and I'm ready for war. I'm going to take that mountain, because that mountain belongs to me, because the Lord had promised it to me. Hallelujah. So, let me pause here and say this. Remember that the Lord had said that Caleb will inherit the land because he had a different spirit. I'm going to give you four reasons why Caleb had a different spirit. Firstly, he was single-minded. He wholly and totally followed the Lord, and he did not forget what the Lord had done. Caleb never allowed himself to forget the miracles that the Lord had done in Egypt, and he knew that he served a mighty God, so a faithful God, who was true to his word. So he followed the Lord wholly with all his heart and never forgot what the Lord had done. The second reason why Caleb had a different spirit, he held on to the word of God, which became his vision, and he held on for 45 years. The word that God had spoken to him and said, this mountain belongs to you, that word became his vision. You see, a vision isn't just something you make up on your own and say, I have a vision. No. A vision is always first born in the heart of God. And when it is born in the heart of God, the word of God comes to you and it becomes yours. And that becomes your vision. And he, Caleb, held on to that word. He held on to that vision for 45 long years. Hallelujah. Thirdly, the third reason why Caleb had a different spirit was because he did not let the vision go. Although for 45 years he spent in the desert and he saw all his relatives, his entire family, all his friends, all the people who he grew up with, he watched them die in the wilderness. But he kept his eyes on the Lord and he kept his vision alive for 45 years. The fourth reason why Caleb had a different spirit, because you must understand this, that Caleb was also in the desert with the rest of the people of Israel. He was not suffering for his own sins, but he was suffering because of the sins and the unbelief of other people. Yet, he kept his heart pure and free from bitterness. Caleb kept his heart free and pure from bitterness, even though he spent half his life suffering because of the sins and the unbelief of other people. So now, That was what made Caleb different. God says, because he has a different spirit. He's not like everybody else. He's a different spirit. He has a different spirit. So, in the twilight of his old age, Caleb fought his final battle and won his greatest victory. For 85 years of age, as an old man, in his old age, Caleb fought his final battle and won his greatest victory. And when he died, every vision that God had given him was fulfilled. So, I call this 45 years of faith. 45 years of faith. And I'm saying this, the reason I'm sharing this with you is this. You know, we have this COVID-19 situation, and it has been going on for how long? 3 months, 4 months, and many people are already giving up. They have given up, and they think they have lost everything, or they stand to lose everything, and they can never come back. Listen, there is still a God. Let Him write your destiny. Let Him write your story. You are not going to be defeated. You are going to win if you hold on in faith. Caleb walked in the wilderness for 45 years and he could not let go. Why? Because he remembered all the great things that he had seen God do, and he knew that God was true and faithful to his work. So we talked about a man who held on to faith for 45 years. Now I'm going to talk to you about a man who held on to faith for 400 years. And that's a man called Joseph. This is an amazing story. Hebrews 11, verse 22. It says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, I want you to understand. You know, Joseph came to Egypt. He was sold as a slave to Egypt. And, you know, he worked his way out and became Pharaoh's right-hand man. And then there was a famine in the promised land. So all the Israelites came to Egypt, and there at least they had food to eat, and Joseph helped them. But they ended up becoming slaves to the Egyptians. But here is the thing. Joseph, when he was dying, when he was an old man, it says that he made mention of the departure of the people of Israel, although that, and what he's referring to is when Moses would come and lead the people out of Israel. But that was to be 400 years after Joseph. So from Joseph to Moses was 400 years. And the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. So it says that Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. This shows what a visionary Joseph was, because Joseph could see 400 years into the future and knew that they would not be in Egypt, but they would depart from Egypt. And knowing that, he gave instruction to his children and his grandchildren about his bones. And the instructions were this. It was simple. He said, look, I'm old, I'm dying. But there will come a day when we are going to come out of this land. We are going back to where we belong to. And when that happens, don't forget to take my bones with you. Because I want, even if I don't see the promised land, I want my bones to see the promised land. I want my bones to be buried in the promised land and not to remain here in Egypt. So, the promise of God that God had given to Abraham. And then, you know, after Abraham came Isaac, after Isaac came Jacob, and Jacob was Joseph's father. He was just four generations. He was the fourth generation from Abraham. But the promise that God made to Abraham was so deeply embedded in Joseph's heart that he knew that their ultimate destination would be in Canaan and not in Egypt. This was just a temporary stop. So he could see that. You know, this, many people, when they see their bad situation. They think that's the end station, and they think this is where I'll be the rest of their life. And that's because they have forgotten the Word of God. Don't forget the Word of God. Don't forget what the Lord has done for you in the past. And don't forget the visions that the Holy Spirit has given you, that the Word that God has given you. So, faith always begins with the Word of God deeply embedded in your heart. Everything else follows after that. So once the Word, the promise of God is deeply embedded in your heart, then you begin to speak that Word. You begin to speak it out. You begin to speak it out, and you begin to act according to it. You act according to it, and everything follows that. Amen? So when the Word of God, the Word of faith is embedded in your heart, and then you begin to speak that faith out, that's the natural consequence because the Word is embedded in your heart. So you speak the Word of faith and you act the Word of faith. You do the right thing. You know, you're in church, you tithe, you offering, you give offerings, you love people, you minister to people, you share Christ with people. You do the things that you know are the right thing to do. And why do you do those things? Because the Word of God is deeply embedded in your heart. Now, it is now Hebrews 11:22 says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of children of Israel and gave them commandment concerning his bones. And this is actually referring to Genesis chapter 50, verse 25, where it says, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel. That means he made the children of Israel, made a promise, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. He says, one day, God is going to visit you. You're going to have a visitation from God. A time is coming when God is going to get you out of here. You see, he could see 400 years into the future. Caleb saw 45 years, but Joseph saw 400 years into the future. He said, you shall take my bones from here. And then in Exodus 13:19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And so Moses, when the final, you know, they applied the blood of the lamb, and the people of Israel, they made ready to leave the promised land. And then Moses remembered, oh, we promised Joseph, and that promise they made to Joseph had been passed down from generation to generation. We promised Joseph that we'd take his bones with us. So they quickly went to the cemetery and they dug up the bones of Joseph. They put the bones of Joseph in a box. And as they walked across the Red Sea, the bones of Joseph were rattling in that box, and those bones were crying out, the Word of God is true. The promise of God is true. Hallelujah. So, remember, in these difficult days that we are facing right now, with no definite end in sight, honestly, we don't know. I mean, as I sit here today, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I keep on hearing different things. Different experts are saying different things. Because they're sincere, but nobody really knows. And I thought, 3 months and this will be over. And it's not over. It's far from over. So we don't know. But, you know, in this situation, we can do, there are three alternatives we have. And we choose one of them. One is give up and throw in the towel. And a lot of people are doing that. You know, there's a lot of suicides that have gone up. People are going into depression. People are killing themselves. And there are people who have lost total control. There's spousal abuse, abuse of children has gone up, and people are in depression because people have thrown in the towel. People have literally given up. That's one alternative we have. The other alternative we have is just to exist with some semblance of hope, some thinking, well, okay, it'll be okay, but you just kind of keep on existing. And it's, in a way, it's defeatist, but that's what it is. There's some semblance of hope. But the last alternative we have, and that is the choice you and I should make, is to live in faith. And that is, hold on to God's word, to his promise. Speak out your faith. Give glory to God. And know that you are destined to win. So, the third alternative we have is, I can choose. You see, I can choose to give up right now where I am. Or I can just relax, laid back. Well, you know, que sera, sera, what will be, will be. Or the third thing I can do is to live in faith, live by faith. And the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. That is our destiny. That's what we are supposed to do. And that means that we hold on to the Word of God. And we hold on to His promise. And we actively begin to speak out our faith. Speak out our faith. Give praise and glory to God. And then at the same time, know that we, you and I, my beloved, we are destined to win because the Word of God is true, because the promise of God is true. And we look beyond this time, we look to the other side what God has promised. God's promises of blessings and long life and prosperity, and God's blessings upon our lives, and God's promises for our lives, we look at those things. We don't lose sight of those things, and we hold on to those things, and we know that the Word of God is true. And because the Word of God is true, we are going to win. We are destined to win. Praise God. Let me pray for you now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters who can hear my word. I pray, Father, that you grant them great peace and assurance in their hearts that you are true and you are faithful to your word, Father, and you're watching over your word to perform it. And I thank you, Father, that every family who's watching this, Father, you have got miracles in store for them, Father. Those who have lost anything shall have everything restored to them. I thank you, Father, that the vision that you put in their hearts that you've given to them is still true, it still stands true, and it shall come to pass. I thank you. Father, I pray for those who are sick. I ask you for long life and health and healing and blessings for them in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, for those who are suffering from other issues, Father. I ask you to touch them and put your blessing upon them. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for all things. Be magnified and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Rejoice. And remember, the just shall live by faith. God bless you.